वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11th चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 37। सत्वं रजस्तम इति त्रिवृद् एकम आधौ सूत्रं महान् अहम् इति प्रवदन्ति जीवम् ज्ञान क्रियार्थ फल रूपतया उरु शक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सद असत् च तयो परं यत् सत्वं रजस्तम इति त्रिवृत् एकम आदौ सूत्रं महान् अहम् इति प्रवदन्ति जीवम् ज्ञान क्रियार्थ फल रूपतया उरु शक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सद असत् च तयो परं यत् सत्वं रजस्तम इति त्रिवृत् एकम आदौ सूत्रं महान् अहम् इति प्रवदन्ति जीवम् ज्ञान क्रियार्थ फल रूपतया उरु शक्ति ब्रह्मैव भाति सद असत् च तयो परं यत् माता जी word to word meanings. Sattvam, goodness. Raja, passion. Tama, and ignorance. Iti, thus known. Trivrit, threefold. Ekam, one. Ado, in the beginning, before creation. Sutram, the power to act. Mahan, the power of consciousness. Aham, and the false ego. Iti, thus. Pravadanti is called. Jivam, false ego which covers the living entity. Jnana, the demigods as the embodiment of knowledge. Kriya, the senses. Artha, sense objects. Phala, and fruitive results such as happiness and distress. Rupataya, assuming the forms. Uru Shakti, possessing great varieties of energy. Brahma Eva, the supreme alone. Bhati is manifest. Sat Asat Cha, as both gross objects and their subtle causes. Tayo, both. Param, beyond. Yat, which is. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Originally one, the absolute, Brahman, comes to be known as threefold, manifesting itself as the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. Brahman further expands its potency and thus the power to act and the power of consciousness becomes manifest, along with the false ego, which covers the identity of the conditioned living beings. Thus, by the expansion of the multipotencies of the absolute, the demigods, as the embodiment of knowledge, becomes manifest, along with the material senses, their objects and the results of material activity, namely, happiness and distress. In this way, the manifestation of the material world takes place as a subtle cause and as a material effect, visible in the appearance of gross material objects. Brahman, which is the source of all subtle and gross manifestation, is simultaneously transcendental to them, being absolute. Purport. It's a very long purport, so we'll just read part of the purport. In the previous verse, the sage Pipalaya Yana described the absolute Brahman as being beyond the range of material sense perception and mental speculation. At the same time, it was stated, Atma Mulam Arthoktam Aha Yadrite Nanished Siddhi. The negative injunction of the Vedas indirectly indicate the existence of the absolute truth. This absolute truth can be approached by correct means. Now in the present verse, it is clearly described that absolute truth possesses innumerable potentials. Uru Shakti Brahmaiva Bhati. Thus, by the expansion of absolute truth, the gross and subtle features of the material world become manifest. As stated by Srila Sridhar Swami, Karyam Karanat Bhinnam Nabhavati. The result is non-different from its cause. Therefore, since the absolute is eternal existence, this material world, being the potency of the absolute, must also be accepted as real, although the various manifestations of the material world are temporary and thus illusory. The material world should be understood to consist of the bewildering interaction of real elements. The material world is not false in the imaginary sense of the Buddhists and Mayavadis, who state that in fact the material world does not exist outside the mind of the observer. The material world, as the potency of absolute, has a real existence, but the living entity becomes bewildered by the temporary manifestation, foolishly taking them to be permanent. Thus, the material world functions as an illusory potency, causing the living entity to forget the spiritual world, wherein life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Because the material world thus bewilders the conditioned soul. It is called illusory. When a magician performs his tricks on stage, that which the audience apparently sees is an illusion. But the magician actually exists, and the hat and rabbit exist. All the appearance of a rabbit coming out of hat is an illusion. Similarly, when the living entity identifies himself as part and parcel of the material world, thinking, I am American, I am Indian, I am Russian, I am black, I am white, he is bewildered by the magic of the Lord's illusory potency. The conditioned soul must come to understand, I am a pure spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Now let me stop my useless activities and serve Krishna, since I am part of him. Then he is free from the illusion of Maya. If one artificially tries to escape the clutches of illusory energy by declaring that there is no illusory potency and that this world is false, he merely falls into another illusion created by Maya to keep him in ignorance. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihi esha gunamayi mam maya durattaya mam evahi prapadante mayam etam tarantite. Unless one surrenders at the lotus feet of Mahesha, the lord of the illusory energy, there is no possibility of escaping from illusion. Childishly declaring that there is no illusory potency is useless, since Maya is durattaya, or insurpassable for the tiny living entity. But Lord Krishna, the omnipotent personality of Godhead, can immediately call off the illusory potency. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Parishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pranayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaura Tushe Nama E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Nilachala Nivasaya Nityaya Paramatmane Balbhadra Subhadrabhyam Jagannathaya Te Nama Vancha Kalpatrabhyasyam Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Actually, I have a habit of sitting here and listening the class, but I am feeling very awkward to sit here and speak the class. So I seek blessings of all devotees so that I can speak something for my own purification. So I remember once one Prabhupada disciple came a few years back to Calcutta temple, and he was very happy to see that deity worship is going on very nicely and devotees are chanting and dancing very nicely. And while going, he gave one feedback. He said, "I am very happy to come here and everything is going so nicely, but I have one question. Why do devotees don't say Hare Krishna, Krishna? I came here, but nobody, since I am here, nobody said Hare Krishna to me. And you know, so I was just thinking that, and he was telling this, Krishna consciousness is not just a mechanical process, but we also have to be a little personal in our dealings. So I was wondering how it is possible to be personal, you know. Imagine everybody starts becoming personal, then when will they do their seva, when they will chant the rounds, when they will know. But when I come here, I see not only everything is going on so nicely, deity worships and service and sadhana, but devotees are so personal here. When I came here, so many devotees, you know, greeting so personally and making everyone feel at home. When I came here, I felt really at home. So though I am feeling a little nervous, but since devotees are very encouraging and I am feeling at home, I am taking courage to speak few words here. I seek blessings. Yesterday when Baldev Prabhu approached me after the class to speak, I was so impressed by this Srinivas Acharya Prabhu's class. And I was also amazed to see he was talking about Dhritarashtra's formula. He used to say yes, but then later on, you know, somehow not execute it. So I was thinking maybe I should also use that formula. Maybe I will just say yes to Baldev Prabhu and then later on, you know, find some excuse. But then afternoon he fed such wonderful Mahaprasad that it was very difficult for me to say no to him. So Prasad can, you know, conquer everything. So Prasad can help us to conquer the illusory energy. Here we are discussing on a topic, liberation from the illusory energy. Text 37. Actually these are discussions by Maharaj, questions asked by Maharaj Nimi and answers given by Navayugendras. There are 9 questions. They are perfect questions and 9 perfect answers given by 9 Yogendras. As it is so wonderful, it's complete and perfect. We can even compile one small book, or we can have a 9-day course, like we have 6-day course, 7-day course, or 3-day course. We can have a 9-day course on this very, very important 9 questions and 9 answers. So in this chapter, 4 questions are asked, and we are discussing on this question. He had asked, kindly, please explain the transcendental position of the Lord, Supreme Lord. So, immediately, people lay on. He says, actually, the position of Lord cannot be explained, even by the Vedas. And he starts explaining. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that this verse is 35 to 39. Navayendra very systematically answers his question. It said that, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that in verse 35 to 39, the various stages he explains in a standard, according to standard logic. 35 verse explains the Vishaya, the general thesis. The verse 36 manifests samshaya, doubts, or expression of doubts. And then verse 37 gives purva paksha, or opposing arguments. And the verse 38 establishes the proper siddhanta, or the conclusion. and 39 does the reconciliation, Sangati, and the summary. And the 40th verse gives the finally carry home message. It's the final word. So the final word is that one should become a pure devotee of personality of Godhead and worship the Lord's lotus feet. Thus, by cleansing the mirror of the heart, one can see the Lord just as a normal human being with healthy 20 by 20 vision. Now we say 6 by 6 vision. Can very easily see the brilliant rays of sun, or as an advanced devotee of sun god himself can see the personal body of the sun god. So he is saying that transcendental nature of the Lord cannot be explained, but it can be experienced directly by person whose hearts are purified by association of wonderful pure devotees. So here in the purport it is explained how, unfortunately, Mayavadis or impersonalists, they tell this material world as false. And Vaishnavacharya says, no, this world is not false. It is temporary. Lord is real. And the material emanation from Lord is also real. Only it is temporary. Whereas Mayavadis have this idea that Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. We heard once one story that how one Mayavadi was speaking this philosophy in the forest to all his disciples, and all of a sudden a lion came, and when lion came and roared, immediately the guru ran and started running, and he climbed up the tree, and all disciples also ran here and then, and after lion went away, again they met. And then one of the disciples questioned Guru that Swamiji, you said that Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya, everything is Mithya. So this lion which came is also Mithya. So then why did you run away? He said, actually, you saw that I ran away. That seeing is also Mithya. So sometimes impersonalists or Maya, they may do word jugglery. But just by doing word jugglery, we cannot escape this mam maya duratya. Maya is very powerful. Unless one surrenders to Krishna, one cannot escape this maya. So in purport is explained that sometimes magician create a lot of tricks. It may appear that rabbit is coming out of the hat. But that doesn't mean, okay, the rabbit coming out of that seeing may be illusion, but magician is a real, rabbit is a real, hat is real, no? Similarly, this world is real, though it's temporary. And to think that I can be happy, enjoying separately from God, independent of God, that is illusion. At the same time, this material world is also a reflection of perverted reflection of spiritual, and it can help us to understand nature of spiritual world, and also by appropriately living this material world under guidance of bona fide devotees, one can realize God, and one can experience God, and one can go back home, back to God, to the spiritual world. Like a few months back, one student who had got admission in a pilot training program, he called me and he said, Prabhuji, please bless me. Today is my exam, flying exam. And I said, and then I asked, where is the exam? Where are you going? And I saw he was not going to the airport. He was going to some other place. I said, where are you going there? Airport is not there. He said, no, Prabhuji, there is a we have the classrooms and labs there, and we have simulated rooms there. So where we practice flying aeroplane. So there they have that, you know, all the, everything is simulated as if it is an aeroplane. and they get directions and all that. They have to, everything they have to do virtually. And if they pass, then they get opportunity to actually sit in the real aeroplane and then, you know, further practice with the co-pilot, other pilot. So unless they practice there, they are not allowed in the real flight. Similarly, this material world, unless we practice living according to spiritual principles, understanding spiritual principles, understanding God and developing attachment to Lord, we may not be allowed in the spiritual realm and experience this thing. Imagine a person is directly allowed to sit in a real aeroplane and try out, you know, there can be disaster. So there is arrangement made. So that simulated room is not an imaginary room, it's a real room, where there is a real facility to practice. Similarly, this material world, there is it's a real, though it's temporary, but there is opportunity here that we can again rectify ourselves, we can again practice spiritual principles in association of devotees, and again become devotees, and transcend this material energy and go back to Krishna. Again become genuine, sincere devotees. Sometimes people, when they hear about becoming devotees, associating with devotees, accepting spiritual master, gurus, many doubts may come. They say, oh Prabhuji, this is Kali Yuga, where can we see these genuine devotees, genuine gurus, genuine, you know, spiritual masters? But actually, in one prayer class, one devotee asked Radhanath Maharaj, Maharaj, you know, we see so many bogus sadhus, no? So, how can we surrender? Then he was saying, it's not question of whether a spiritual master is genuine or bogus. Most important and first question one should ask is that I am genuine. If a devotee is genuine, then naturally Krishna arranged, by mercy of Krishna, one, everything is arranged wonderfully. And one can arrange, if one has desire, Krishna is more than willing to help us facilitate, get good association and get good training and then become qualified to go back to the spiritual world, thus transcending Maya. In his journey home, Radhanath Maharaj explains, he went and he met so many sadhus, and also he saw and met bogus ones as well. And he saw three things he saw common among all the genuine sadhus. One is humility. Second is serious focus on spiritual practices. And third, he writes, is that every genuine sadhu had an unquenchable thirst to serve. So how can we know that we are associating with genuine sadhus? We can see these qualities. And how can we know that I am becoming sadhu? We can be aspiring to develop these qualities. And when we become genuine sadhu, then we can transcend this maya, material energy, and actually perfect our lives and go back home, back to Godhead. So this three especially qualities: humility, serious focus on spiritual practices, and unquenchable thirst to serve, are very important. Just 2 days back, when I was here, one person came and he was very disturbed. And later on, I realized, I know him. He is originally from Calcutta. And after talking, he started saying, oh, this Krishna is so cruel. He's dealing so hard with me. Every time I come to him, he makes my life so difficult. Why is he doing like that? And he was very, he said, I am very upset with Krishna. I am very angry with Krishna. I was just wondering what happened. And then he went and took some books. And then again, I sat and he was talking more and more. And then I realized that, no, he has been put in such situation that he has to take a humble role, and it is very difficult for him to take that role. One amazing thing I saw that he was very convinced that this is being done by Krishna. He was not blaming his boss in the office. He was not blaming devotees. And he was not blaming anyone. But he was blaming Krishna. He was saying, I know this is Krishna's work, you know. He always puts me in difficult situation. And I'm trying, asking him to make life easy for me. But whenever I take up the chanting and when I take up, you know, always things happen. So I was amazed to see how Krishna really arranges in devotee's life that he cultivates the genuine quality of humility. Without that, one cannot move ahead. If one wants to move, it's not possible without trying to become humble. And also one advances in Krishna consciousness, naturally one becomes humble. We know this. Once one devotee was asking Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, how to become humble? Then he told the story of Akbar and Birbal. He said once Akbar drew one line and he told all his ministers and all the scholars there assembled that kindly make this line shorter without touching it. And everybody was wondering, now this is line, how can I make it shorter without touching it? And everybody was, you know, really, you know, scratching their head, and nobody was able to know how to do it. Then when everybody failed, Akbar turned to Birbal and said, my dear Birbal, can you make this line shorter without touching it? And he said, why not? And immediately went and draw a very huge line near that small line. And immediately, when there was a huge line nearby it, immediately the line which was drawn by Akbar became short. So Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is explaining that more we go closer to God, Supreme Lord Krishna and His devotees, naturally we become humble. But if we live in our own world, it's very difficult to become humble. So, easiest way is to associate with devotees. Though sometimes it may be challenging, but actually this is the only way. When we associate with exalted devotees, advanced devotees, senior devotees, we come closer to God. And more we come closer to God, more we realize our insignificance. And natural humility comes. So, and natural humility is not depressing. It's very enlivening, and it gives great joy and satisfaction. So I remember a few years back, 5-6 years back, we had a very wonderful Rath Yatra. Practically lakhs of people participated. And then when we reached the Pandal, finally, Gundicha temple, that time Japatag Maharaj came, and I was in very happy mood, and I was just thinking, because this personality is coming year after year, he has never missed single Rath Yatra since 1971, and that's why many people are inspired to come, and that's how this Rath Yatra is expanding. So I just said, Maharaj, thank you very much for coming. Because you are coming, everybody is inspired, and this Rath Yatra has become such a great, and thank you for making this Rath Yatra grand success. And he just looked at me and he said, who am I? He said, I'm just a very insignificant person. And he said, oh, this Rath Yatra is grand success. We are in front of Jagannath. And he turned toward Jagannath. He said, it's because of Krishna, because of Jagannath. Jagannath is so attractive. He is making this Rath Yatra grand. No? And then he offered the aarti to Jagannath. So I could see natural devotees are, you know, naturally they are humble because they are near God, near Krishna, and they can see how Krishna is in work, and because of that, naturally the tendency ప్రకృతి క్రియమాణాని గుణై కర్మాని సర్వశ అహంకార విముడాత్మ కర్తహం ఇతి మన్యతే. దట్ కర్తహం, దట్ టెండెన్సీ డజంట్ టచ్. బట్ మోర్ వీఆర్ ఫార్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ గాడ్ అండ్ డివోటీస్, మోర్ దట్ టెండెన్సీస్ దేర్, ఓ ఐఎమ్ ద డూవర్. బట్ మోర్ వి కమ్ క్లోజర్ టు డివోటీస్ అండ్ కృష్ణ, మోర్ వీఆర్ ఓ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ద డూవర్ అండ్ డివోటీస్ ఆర్ ద యాక్చువల్లీ డూవర్స్ అండ్ బై దర్ మర్సీ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ హ్యాపనింగ్. జస్ట్ దిస్ రథ్ యాత్ర ఆల్సో, ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ బిఫోర్ రథ్ యాత్ర ఐ వాజ్ ఇన్ లిటిల్ టెన్స్ బికాస్ సమ్ సర్వీసెస్ వేర్ అడ్జస్టెడ్ అండ్ సమ్ డివోటీస్ సర్వీసెస్ చేంజ్ అండ్ ఐ వాజ్ నాట్ నోయింగ్ హౌ డైనమిక్స్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు వర్క్. దట్ టైమ్ చెప్పత్ మహారాజ్ కేమ్ అండ్ సో వెన్ ఈ కేమ్ ఐ సెడ్ థ్యాంక్ యూ మహారాజ్ యూ కేమ్, నౌ ఐఎమ్ ఫీలింగ్ రిలాక్స్, నౌ ఐఎమ్ ష్యూర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ విల్ గో ఫైన్ యూనో నౌ రథ్. అండ్ దెన్ ఇమీడియట్లీ సెడ్ అరే వై ఆర్ అండ్ టెన్స్, he said Jagannath is in full control, we relax, you know, and everything will be wonderful. So they have natural that faith and actually they live by that. So that is that's why they are actually humble. So this humility is not just artificially to practice, it's very difficult, but it's natural. It in association by seeing great devotees, we can understand, oh, this quality is really very attractive and wonderful. So, sometimes when we talk about humility in outside world, it may be very difficult to convince people. Sometimes people think, oh, humility, if one is humble, people will trample on you and crush you and we may be great losers. So sometimes to convince some principles, it's not just by words, it also needs a proper culture and environment so that things can be imbibed. So therefore there is a need of proper communities and where people practice these things. When we see people practicing, then our faith increases, otherwise it just become theory. And a lot of Krishna conscious things are, you know, caught then taught. It cannot be explained also many times, no, many principles. So a lot of things are just, you know. So 2 days back, by great fortune, I got opportunity to go with Radhanath Maharaj to Piramal's program, where he was invited to inaugurate their office. So the son of Ajay Piramal, Anand Piramal, was taking Maharaj around, and I was also going with Gaurang Prabhu to see different places. And he was showing his new work office. And one of the amazing things I saw, that they were trying to make offices like home, and there was a lot of everywhere written caring atmosphere, you know, care. That word was used quite very well. And that Anand was explaining that he was showing the offices, how it is made. And every office they had made, he said that many people have done research and they have said that a lot of things get accomplished by chance meetings than formal meetings. So we have made our design, our office such a way that there are opportunities for all the employees or colleagues or all to meet by chance. And a lot of wonderful things happen by that. And they showed the office, how they have designed office and their table, chair. Beside that, there are desks and all this thing where people are made welcome. That they can come and sit anytime and have a chance meetings. And he said, here we don't have this pews and all this thing to bring tea, coffee, snacks. We have a place where all our staffs are forced to go there because that forces want to have chance meetings there. And when there are chance meetings, a lot of wonderful ideas come, a lot of wonderful things happen. And a lot of things which cannot be accomplished in board meetings can be accomplished by these chance meetings, you know. So he was explaining, you know, all the logic. And then I was wondering, are it's really wonderful. True, a lot of things, good things happen by chance meetings. And many things, if you just put in board meetings, can become little difficult, you know. And we see that this association of devotees when you come together, chant together, dance together, take prasad together, just be together. Lot of chance meeting happen and lot of Krishna consciousness things are caught up, which cannot be taught also. And it's very difficult to, you know, convince also, or sometimes make. So, this culture is very much required. When there's proper culture, lot of things get learned without being, you know, forced on, taught, or, you know, different things. There's some without debates and arguments, you know. Like this principle of humility, it's very difficult to understand. But where there's culture, where devotees are naturally humble, one can immediately absorb that, you know, and understand the power of humility. And one can experience how one feels so enlivened and so blissful and so happy to be small and happy. Happy small, you know, is that, than be great and miserable. So, one of the principles of sadhu is becoming humble. Another is serious focus on spiritual practices. In his book, Our Family Business, Vaisheshi Prabhu explains there are the five aspects of sadhana practices. So, serious focus on spiritual practices. Without actually serious focus on spiritual practice, everything may appear as, you know, we may not be able to experience the things ourselves, though we may see everybody experiencing. So he says, the first aspect of serious practice or wonderful sadhana is proper attitude. One should be very serious and sincere about one's sadhana practices. Like when person is sick and he is taking treatment under doctor, he has to be very serious and sincere with taking medicines and his diet and proper rest. If he doesn't take that properly, sincerely, seriously, he may not get cured, he may not see the results, he may not improve himself. So, in our, we are conditioned souls, and if we want to see our situation being improved, our heart being purified, we being cured, our disease, heart disease, and our lust and anger and greed, we need to seriously apply, sincerely apply, and without cultivating other ulterior motives, but motive to become a genuine, sincere devotee. So that attitude is very important. Another attitude, which Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti, this our Udeshamrit, Utsahat Nishyad Dhairat. In practice, one should be enthusiastic and one should be determined, as if everything depends on us only. But at the same time, one should be patient, knowing well, ultimately it's by Krishna's mercy the results will come. It's by Krishna's mercy I will be purified. By Krishna's mercy I will advance. So that attitude is very favorable attitude. Second aspect of sadhana is actually, sadhana has to be regular. Regular means nityam bhagavat seva, daily. Satadam kirtiyanta, always. So daily, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, and that facilitate that some daily as practice, like regularly or daily attending Bhagavatam class or studying Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, daily chanting. Not that one day we chant so many thousand rounds, one day we chant 64 rounds, another day we chant one round. No, that is not applicable. But daily chanting minimum 16 rounds, daily studying even few minutes of Bhagavatam. So the sadhana should be daily, even it be little bit, but daily has a great effect. Like if you daily take prasad, you know, it nourishes. Not that once a while we take prasad, you know. So daily. And certain aspect of sadhana we may do weekly. Maybe once a week we may worship the deities, or, you know, or once a week we may do some aspect of sadhana. Or some aspect of sadhana we may do fortnightly, but regularly. Like once, maybe once in Ekadashi we may chant 64 rounds or 32 rounds, or we may have a long Bhagavatam study circle, some aspect of sadhana. Or some aspect of sadhana we may do monthly or once in 6 months. Or some aspect of sadhana we may do annually. Like we go to holy places, dhams, yatras once a year. When I say sadhana, sadhana, there are many aspects of sadhana, but especially 5 important items as explained by Rupa Goswami, associating with devotees, studying Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names of Lord, worshipping the deities and honoring prasadam, and residing in the holy place or coming to the temple. So it should be done daily or nityam and regularly. And the third aspect of sadhana is that sadhana has to be attentive. One has to struggle to involve our mind. Krishna is talking, man mana bhava, always think of me. Mind has to be involved. Otherwise, like when we are chanting Hare Krishna, even when we chant Hare Krishna, Bhurijan Prabhu explains in his Japa book that, you know, if you hear the holy name, you can see the holy name is so wonderful. But many times after chanting Hare Krishna, we feel tired because instead of hearing the holy name, we hear our mind. Hearing mind is very boring and it leads to tiredness. But as soon as we hear Hare Krishna, immediately we get energized, enthused, blissful. So one has to involve or struggle hard to engage the mind in sadhana. Engage mind in hearing holy names. Engage mind in hearing Krishna Katha. Engage mind in whatever we are doing. Trying to do it with our heart, with our being present there. We are worshipping the deity, we are cooking, we are cleaning, being there, investing our heart and mind. Not just doing for sake of doing. And the fourth aspect he explains that of sadhana is that one should do sadhana as per our capacity. Sometimes different devotees may have different capacities and they may do accordingly, but we may not be able to imitate. Sometimes we are inspired by some devotees, you know. Yesterday one devotee is telling, oh, Mathura Mohan Prabhu chants every day 64 rounds. One may get inspired, oh, he said, I will also chant, you know. But if we try to imitate, we may not be able to do that. Sometimes when special occasions come, New Year come, people make New Year resolution, or now some special festivals come, Janmashtami, oh, I will make some Janmashtami resolution, no? And people make resolution, after few days or weeks, the resolution fail. Why? Because sometimes we make resolution beyond our capacity. Like some weightlifter is there, he is lifting 50 kg weight. Imagine he makes a resolution, I will lift 200 kg. He may break his bones, it may be difficult, no? Okay, if he is lifting 50 kg, he can make resolution, okay, I can try to lift, 55 kg, no? Similarly, one is getting up, one is sleeping at every day 12 o'clock at night, and getting up at 6 o'clock, he all of a sudden makes resolution, oh, I'll sleep at 8 o'clock and get up at 2 o'clock, no? And he says, if I can do this one thing, everything will be wonderful. But that doing one thing is not so easy, because we have to have according to our capacity. Okay, we are sleeping at 12 o'clock, okay, we can sleep at 11 o'clock, then gradually may 10 o'clock. So, what are aspects of sadhana we do? It has to be according to our capacity. And then, he says, the fifth aspect of sadhana is that sadhana has to be goal-oriented. When we have goals in our sadhana, immediately one becomes enthusiastic. If you have goal, oh, I have to finish my 16 rounds before 1 o'clock. And then immediately, whatever goal is there, and when he practices and he achieves, he gets encouraged, enthusiastic, and then he can make further goals. Oh, I am going to finish Bhagavad Gita now. And then later on he makes endeavor, okay, I will finish first canto of Bhagavatam. Reading page by page, become a sage, he says, you know. We don't have to read a lot of things, but even if little by little if you read, we can make tremendous advancement. And for that, we need to have set goals as per our capacity in what we can accomplish. When you accomplish goals, we get enthusiasm, we get confidence. But if we make too high goal, which we can never accomplish, that really discourages and we feel loss of enthusiasm. In Krishna consciousness, it's very important that we remain enthusiastic. And if you have achievable goals, and we achieve, really use great enthusiasm in our sadhana. So this is the second aspect of our, you know, trying to become genuine sadhus, trying to have serious focus on spiritual practice. And third is unquenching thirst to serve. We see Prabhupada, how much desire he had to serve. 1922, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gave instruction that you are a young man, educated man, why don't you take this message of Lord Chaitanya and spread it all over the world? This will do good to you and to whole world. And we see how much he had, he took that instruction, how much he wanted to serve that instruction. So many challenges came, but he never gave up. 1922 to 1965, 43 years, challenge after challenge, defeat after defeat, but he never gave up. He had that so much great enthusiasm to serve. And we see when he went to America as well, 1965 to 1966, till he registered ISKCON, so much obstacles, so many challenges. One of the devotees wrote letter to Prabhupada when Prabhupada requested him to come to America and help him. He said, Swamiji, my Guru Maharaj said that your endeavors are ridiculous. It's not going to happen, preaching in West. Prabhupada immediately wrote back. He said, I am not going to be discouraged by anybody's words, you know. And he said, Vaishnava's endeavors are never ridiculous. So Prabhupada had so much enthusiasm, sir, in spite of so much discouraging thing, he never gave up. And we see when he was establishing Zoo temple, so much challenge, but he had so much desire, overwhelming desire to serve and help the people. In this Mayapur temple, Vrindavan temple, and preaching all the world, so much struggles. So much efforts he did to just serve. So here we are seeing in today's verse, there is discussion between Maharaj Nimi and Navagandharaj. And Maharaj Nimi is saying that please explain the transcendent position of Lord. And people have... This Pipalayan is saying, actually, it cannot be, Supreme Person of God, it cannot be explained by words. Even the Vedas fail. But in conclusion, 40th verse, it says, but it can, he can be experienced. Like when one's eyesight is having problem, he cannot see the light, but as soon as eyesight become normal, he can see light. And you know, and those who are the devotees of sun god, they can see even form of the sun. Similarly, when one is purified, one can experience Lord. And one can experience this devotional beauty of devotional service to Lord, and one can experience spiritual world, and one can go back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.